All right, pay attention. I've only got one bar of battery left in this microphone, so I'm going to have to talk real fast this morning. So here we go. Open your Bibles back up to Isaiah 42, where Jerry read for us this morning. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled and honored and grateful to commune with you, to worship you, to lift you up, and to bow down before your throne, where life has come, where grace flows every day, where your Son sits, and we see power and glory and authority. Father, we praise your name because you have made all things good, and you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing from your presence into our hearts, into our lives, flowing through us into this world. Father, we praise you. And we confess, Father, we confess to you the ways in which we fall short of the mark of your glory, the times in which we act selfishly. Father, forgive us. Forgive us and renew us and fill us with your Spirit so today can be a new day, so that we can have our eyes opened and see the new things you are doing. And Father, today as we study your Word, I pray that the message will be heard and that we will hold on to the fact that you have called us to participate in what you are doing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have been going through the book of Acts and talking about our active participation with the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today what I wanted us to do was to take a look at some stories of active participation with God. And we see the same pattern that he has called us to. And so we're going to go back and look at some of the very early stories real quickly and see what God does and how the people that he works with, how they respond and what they do. So the pattern that we see is that God provides everything that is needed. God provides everything that is needed. Then he calls us to follow him, and which you and I as followers of God, we have days in which it is very challenging, in which we're not sure if we're going the right direction, if we're not sure if we're going to have the strength to endure or accomplish what he has called us to or the path that he has put us on. But he provides everything he needs. He calls us. And the amazing thing is that God gives us a part in what he is doing. Now, I don't know if you caught this in Isaiah 42, but this is exactly what Jesus went through. And again, sometimes we struggle with this, and this is a lot of our Trinitarian ideas and trying to figure out the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and how they fit together and who does what and how. But did you catch that in Isaiah 42? Isaiah 42, this is the first of several what they call servant songs, predictions about Jesus in Isaiah's writing. But what we saw in this chapter in Isaiah's writing is the fact that God called Jesus. I love that. I love that because before you and I have been called to follow God, Jesus himself was called by God to fulfill a specific ministry here on earth. That is amazing. Look what it says. I'm back in Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens, stretched them out, spread out the earth, and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations to open the eyes that are blind. So God, the creator of all things, calls Jesus, his servant, to be filled with his Spirit and to be offered as a covenant between God and his people. So Jesus had a calling. And he fulfilled that calling in his life here in the flesh. Which, I am blown away by this. I am blown away by this because from time to time, I get caught down in the difference between what God calls me to do and what I feel I am able to do. Sometimes there's a big gap there. I know God is wanting this from me. I know God has put me here for this, and yet I feel, how can I accomplish what God calls me to do? How can I possibly do the things that God has called me to do? How can I possibly think that I might have a positive influence in reaching the lost? How can I possibly think that I can have a positive influence in helping someone who is hurting or has a need? How can I do all of these things that God has called me to do? Well, I must remember the exact thing that God says to Jesus in verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. Church, when God calls us to accomplish His will, this is the active participation. Because the Father has reached out His hand and He takes us and He says, we're in this together. I need you to participate, but I am leading you every step of the way. And sometimes we look at our life and we go, this is too much. This is too big. I can't get through this. I can't accomplish anything for others because I can't even accomplish for myself. What do I do with this? And we must remember God has called us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And God has promised that He is with us every step of the way. And He is holding our hand. He is pulling us along. He is guiding our steps. There's a lot of power and comfort in that truth. Participation with God begins with a call. It includes our faithfulness to participate in our life's purpose for God, for those that God wants to reach through us. And this is a great thing that we looked at the actively pursuing Christ, and we looked at the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, and now the church and the disciples and the followers, the believers, actively participating in what God is still doing in the world, while Jesus gave us an example, and now He goes back to His rightful place. And so now God is saying, hey, I am calling you to My Son. I am with you every step of the way, and I'm going to provide everything you need to accomplish the purpose that I have placed before you. So I want us to consider these early callings in the Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to take just a snapshot of some very familiar stories, and we're going to see what participation looks like for each of these people that were called. Genesis chapter 2, go to verse 15. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Anybody know the man? No, the man was Adam. I thought they were going to be familiar stories. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it's more of a pop quiz than a review. My bad. So God creates Adam. He creates a perfect world for him. And He puts him in the garden. And He says, you have a job to do. You're going to work this land. You're going to tend this garden. You're going to take care of what I have provided for you. Now, church, we take the lesson from this because it's the same thing from us. Our active participation with God is whatever I have given to you, you need to take care of it. You have responsibilities with the things that have been given to you by God. We have responsibilities to take care of all the gifts that God has given us. Now, we're not going to list everything on there, okay? Just be open. Open your heart and let God speak to you and be filled with His Spirit and let Him guide your steps. What have you been given in your life? Take care of it. What has God blessed you with? Take care of it. Tend it. Work it. God gives us everything, but He doesn't want it to remain stagnant. He doesn't want it to stay in the same position. How many stories did Jesus tell when he says, hey, you know, there was a master or there was a boss and he just started handing stuff out. And then he shows back up and he says, what have you done with it? There is an accounting for the lives and the gifts and the blessings that you and I are given by God. He says, I'm providing everything, but I want you to do something with it. I've provided you your life. What are you going to do with it? I've provided you your family. What are you going to do with it? I provided you your work and your energy and your strength and your body and your heart and those around you. What are you going to do with it? So the first lesson that we get all the way back with Adam of what God does, he calls us and then he says, I want you to participate in taking care of the things that I have provided for you. Okay, that makes sense. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6. I'll give you another chance. Genesis chapter 6. Who's God calling in the story of the ark? Thank you. All right, good. We're getting better. We're getting smarter. Another popular story, right? Now, the situation has changed. It hadn't taken very long. And everybody has gotten rotten and evil and bad. God shows up and he calls Noah. God says, I'm going to do something here and you're going to participate. Now, this is amazing because if God comes to me and says, hey, everything around you is absolutely terrible. I'm going to save you. You think you'd be excited to participate in that message? Hey, without Jesus, you're lost. You have no hope in the world. For this life or for eternity, here's a lifeboat. Would you like to come in? Right? Yeah, here's a fire suit. That might be handy. That's what God does to Noah. Let's go down to verse 14. I'm in Genesis chapter 6. Go down to verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. All right, so God comes to Noah and he says, I'm going to destroy all flesh. The beginning of the chapter tells us how evil everybody had gotten. Everyone had turned evil. Everyone's thoughts were of all evil of all time, at all times. Everybody's bad and God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I'm inviting you to actively participate in what will be your salvation. Build a boat. I'm going to destroy everything. And here's how I want you to build it. And you're going to take your family and you're going to take all the animals. We're going to do this again. We're going to do this again. Are you aware that before the ark, there was no rain? Build a boat, because it's going to rain. It's going to what? Rain, water, from above. And he bursts open the wells from beneath. He says, we're going to flood this thing and you're going to need a boat. Build a boat. Church, sometimes God calls us to actively participate in very big projects that may not make sense at the time. Sometimes he calls us to things like, I don't know, how am I ever going to finish this? How am I ever going to accomplish this? And think about the things that God has put in your path where you just go, I don't even know if this is worth it anymore. Maybe this really isn't it. Maybe it's just an easier direction. I mean, does it really have to be this many cubits? How about if we just take, some of the animals? Some of those animals are kind of ugly. You've been to a zoo? Some of those animals don't smell great. Do we need all the animals? Let me just take a few of the animals. I mean, how important are all the animals? Can you imagine having that conversation with God? I can imagine God would say, how many sons did Noah have? You want all of them? They're a daughter-in-law too that you just kind of want to leave behind? See, sometimes when we participate with God, God calls us to things that are big. Seems daunting. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to be faithful in this situation because I see the easy way out and it is so very tempting. Because it looks smooth. Are we done with this quick? It'll be over. I don't have to worry about this anymore. It's just weighing on my shoulders and I'm just losing the motivation and the energy to accomplish this. Church, sometimes God calls us to participate in things that are big. And things that are big, and when you and I are tempted to say, isn't there somebody else, Lord? How would that have worked out if Noah said, Lord, that's an awful big boat. Is there somebody else that could take care of this? How would that have worked out for Noah? Not very well. Not very well. God calls us to participate sometimes in things that are big. But sometimes those big things keep us safe. Keep us alive. The next one's in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The first verse. Anybody know who God calls in Genesis chapter 12? Oh, all right, we're waking up. Here we go. That's right, God calls Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Take a look at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All right, so up to this point we get, Abram's family tree and where they're from and about his dad. And then chapter 12 just jumps in. God shows up and says, okay, Abram, leave your family, leave your house, leave your land, follow me. Uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Wait, what? Relocate? I'm not really excited about that. I mean, my family's here. My life is here. My work is here. My house is here. And God says, yeah, that's great. Follow me. I'm taking you to a new place. Now, what does God promise him is going to come with this? What are some of the things he tells him? What's he going to give him? Do what? Yeah, he goes, I'm going to just build a people out of you. Don't worry about the people you're leaving behind. I'm going to build a people out of you. In fact, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. Whew. How often do we fall in the trap saying, hey, Lord, here's my prayer list, and I need you to bless this, and I need you to bless them, and I need you to bless this, and I need you to take care of this? That's probably more often than when we say, Lord, make me a blessing for someone else today. What a wonderful goal. What a lofty goal. To take on this participation that God calls Abram to. Lord, make me a blessing for someone today. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? That God calls us to participate in the work that he's doing in the world around us so that you and I are able to be a blessing from God. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's world changing. That's world changing. You know, we don't think about it in those terms. But you know, when you change the world for one person, have you changed the world? Sure have. You sure have. There's no small participation in what God calls us to. God calls us to things that, that we're not familiar with. God calls us to situations sometimes that, hey, that's not my comfort zone. That's not my talent. That's not my skill. I don't think I have that gift. And yet sometimes God says, hey, I just need you to follow me. I'm going to provide. I'm going to give the blessings. I'm going to give you everything you need, and I'm going to make great things out of you. So just come on. And sometimes we fall in the trap of thinking, well, no, Lord, I can only bless people when I'm comfortable. I can only be the blessing you want me to be when I'm right here in the safety of my own thing, right? And sometimes God says, no, I need you to come follow me because I need to take you over here and be a blessing there. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. All right, everyone's going to participate in this one. Now, just remember the story. It's the beginning of Exodus. Who does God call the beginning of Exodus? Good deal. All right, we are almost fully awake. In Exodus chapter 3, let's go down to verse 10. God finds Moses, and when he finds Moses, what is Moses doing currently in the story? What job does he have? He's a shepherd. He's tending his sheep, right? Yeah. And what does Moses see while he's tending the sheep? A burning bush. God shows up. Hey, take off your sandals. This is holy ground, Moses. Now, in his previous life, where was Moses located? Where was he born? Egypt. Right. You remember the story, right? The little baby, he was an Israelite, should have been a slave, but he's spared. He gets raised in the palace. He gets raised by the royal family. He ends up killing somebody. He runs for his life. He goes out in the wilderness. Now he's got a new life. He's got a family. God has blessed him, even from all the trouble that he has seen. And then in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. Oh. Okay, Lord, I don't know if you've heard, but I've kind of been avoiding Pharaoh. Doesn't sound too safe to me. And sometimes God just says, hey, come on. We're going right through it. Or we're going back to it. Come. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Sometimes God just sends us to the last place we would choose, doesn't he? He sends us absolutely the last place that we would say, yeah, that's where I think I want to be. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. But I will be with you. Hey, I want you to come do this crazy, dangerous, wonderful thing. Lord, I'm not qualified. I can't do that. That's not my gift. That's not my talent. It can't be where you're leading me because I'm not prepared for that. Church, the only preparation we need to actively participate with God is what? God! That's what is necessary to participate with God. Is God. And he says these words, he says them to Moses, he says them to us every day if we will listen, I am with you. Lord, I don't know. I'm with you. I'll read it again. Verse 12. He said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, did you catch that? Okay, Moses, I'm sending you back to the danger zone, the life you had before. It's not any prettier, and it's kind of dangerous for you. And I want you to go back there, and you're going to participate in freeing my people. Lord, I'm not so sure about this. Yeah, I'll be with you. In fact, here's the proof that I will be with you in this dangerous mission. When the mission's over, here's the celebration. Church, sometimes that's what we get. Sometimes we get God looking at us and saying, I need you to be faithful to me. I need you to walk with me. I need you to know that I am with you. Well, Lord, how do I know that you'll be with me? When your life is over and it's all said and done, you'll be with me in heaven. But Lord, today's hard. Death threats are not fun. The plagues aren't fun. They're chasing us. They got chariots. They got firepower. Lord, how am I going to know? How am I going to know that this really is going to be successful? How am I going to... Hey, when you reach the finish line, you get a prize. That's how you know. Oh, how appropriate is that for us, right? Because how many times do we cry out to God and we say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is the path. I don't know if this is the direction. I don't know if this is the purpose in the ministry that you have given me, because it's tough. It's challenging. It's bigger than me. I don't even understand it. And the assurance that I have is that when it's all said and done, that we'll get to be together. Church, do you know how many people have not been able to hold on to that promise? That God says, hey, you got to stick with me. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. You got to trust me. You got to have faith in me. And one day, at the very end, we're going to be together. And you know how many people just go, that's not enough. And they let go. They take their hands off the wheel. They take their hands off their life and say, that's not enough. Your assurances are not enough. I can't trust that. I'm going to go my own way. Sometimes participation looks like rescuing those enslaved by our own former captors. Oh, that's my old life. I don't want anything to do with that anymore. Sometimes God says, yeah, but I need you. They still need you because they're still in a bad way. Oh, yeah, you ran away. You're free. But there's still people back there enslaved. Church, how appropriate is this for us in our view of the lost? We've been saved. We're in a good place. We're walking with God. He's with us at all times. And he goes, yeah, but I need you to go back and help them. Because I want them to be able to come out and celebrate with you in my presence. God's kind of serious, isn't he? Let's turn our Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So again, like I said, just a few inspirational stories. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Remind me, who was that? Adam. Sometimes participation looks like taking care of what God provides. Genesis chapter 6, who did he involve? Noah. Sometimes participation is a big project that might not make sense. It's okay. Genesis chapter 12, who gets called? Abram. That's right. Sometimes you got to leave your comfort zone. Sometimes participation with God means, hey, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go over here because I got big things and you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. Well, Lord, you've already blessed me. Do I really have to be a blessing? In Exodus chapter 3, Moses. Sometimes participation means looking back and realizing, hey, there's some others that need what I have. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is what I want you to really chew on this week. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. How are we going to endure? By the power of God. How am I going to get through today? By the power of God. How am I going to get through this situation? By the power of God. We are not alone. The same God says, I've called you. I know it's going to be difficult, but I'm with you every step of the way. Take my hand. Adam did it. Noah did it. Abram did it. Moses did it. Jesus did it. And God calls us to it. By the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. What did he give us in Christ Jesus? What did he give us? And purpose. Love me some grace. Jesus died for my sins. I'll take it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But what else did he give me in Christ? Purpose. My salvation's not just for me. My following Jesus is not just for me. God has given me a purpose. God has blessed me so that I may be a blessing. Grace and purpose. Both. You got to walk with both. You don't just say, oh, Lord, thank you for the grace. I appreciate it. Yeah, when I see you face to face, you got me, right? We're all good? Okay, well, then I'll see you at the end. Nope. Grace and purpose. He has a purpose for you. He has called you to something. He has called you to something. The first thing he calls you to his grace. He says, I've got the way to take care of your sins. Come here and receive it. And then when we receive it, he says, okay, now that you're called and I'm with you, I'm giving you a purpose. I'm giving you a purpose. That is our holy calling. That is what God calls us to receive his grace and then to take his purpose into our life. His purpose. Which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, I'm in verse 10, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Church, God has saved us and he calls us to a holy calling. We have been saved from our sins. That is the beginning of our journey. He calls us to receive the blood of his precious son, the name, the only name by which we can and must be saved from sin and death. There's only one name. He has called us to that name. He has called us to his salvation. And we are now called to participate with God in the things He wants to accomplish with our lives and with our faith. You ever gone through a chapter and go, wow, I really couldn't have done that alone? That's the Christian life. You ever thought about that? If you could have done it on your own, that's not it. It's when something bigger than you is accomplished that you go, oh, okay, there it is. That's what God wanted from me. He wanted me to trust Him enough so that He could accomplish something bigger than me. Because if it was just my power, this wouldn't get done. If this was just my will, this wouldn't get done. But see, God has forgiven me of my sins. God has given me His Spirit. He's allowed me to participate in what He has going on. Church, we have begun the journey. Let's keep faithful to His purposes. We've begun the journey in salvation. If you haven't, we invite you to that. But we continue the journey, actively participating and following Him wherever He wants to take our lives. He is with us. He has promised us everything we need. He'll be with us in the end. And, I mean, boy, what did Paul say to Timothy? Even when it got difficult, he said, hey, this is what I know. Verse 12. Look, if there's some suffering, I can handle it. Why? Because I'm not ashamed. Because I know whom I've believed. And I am convinced He is able to guard me until that day. You got to be convinced. You got to be convinced that God is with you every step of the way. You got to know this. You got to know this, or you're not going to participate much. People that are scared don't participate. They kind of shrink back. That doesn't make God happy. God says, hey, follow me. Let's go. I don't know, Lord. It's kind of comfy here. Come on, follow me. Let's do this. I don't know. Lord, sounds dangerous. I said I'll be with you. What more do you want? What more do you want? You have the Creator of all things with you. You have the sacrifice of His Son for you. What more do you want? What more do you need? You have the assurance of eternity, of life everlasting. You have the resurrection from the dead. What more do you want? It's time to participate. He's given us everything, so let's get on board.